brothers and my sisters, here we are in the second sermon of the Power Sermon Series. You all know that there's a show called Power on the Stars Network. And on the show called Power on the Stars Network, it deals with the life of a brother by the name of James St. Patrick and his wife Tasha and his friend Tommy. And they are drug moguls. They are drug moguls. But Brother James St. Patrick, also known as Ghost, is trying to get out of the drug game. He has been able to buy and purchase a nightclub, and he's running a nightclub. He is in relationship, funny enough, with a federal agent who he grew up with. In other words, he is in a relationship outside of his marriage. And in the midst of all of this, you're watching them navigate what it is for him to attempt to try to get out of the drug game. It's very interesting because this show was executive produced. One of the executive producers is a gentleman by the name of Curtis Jackson, who many of us know to be 50 Cent. And 50 Cent is not just an owner, he's not just a coach, he's also a player, because he is not just an executive producer, but he is also an actor in this TV series. In this TV series, he plays one of the chief villains, one of the chief protagonists in this series, a gentleman by the name of Kanan, K-A-N-A-N. And Kanan is a brother who we first meet in the first series, who is in jail. He's in jail, and he is setting up some things to go against Ghost, to try to get Ghost killed. We watch that throughout the series that Kanan is one of Ghost's chief adversaries. He's one of his chief adversaries who is not just trying to get him killed, but he is trying to tear down his business. He is trying to tear down the drug operation and be able to get the drug operation. He is trying to infiltrate and deal with his drug operation and many of his players in the operation. Not just that, he is trying to organize at some points other drug dealers around him. And then, as we see in the last couple of seasons, he is now trying to deal with and infiltrate his son and get his son to turn against him. It's a very interesting thing, because as I sat and I reflected on Kanan and Curtis Jackson, it also made me think about an old school TV show called What's Happening. As an old school TV show called What's Happening, and in What's Happening, you had Roger, you had Rerun, you had Dwayne, you even had Miss Shirley, amen somebody, and in What's Happening, and he had a little sister by the name of Dee. And a little sister by the name of Dee, when Roger and the guys would have done something, that she would turn to Roger and say, "Roger, you in trouble." And it was an interesting thing, because when I think about this show Power, when I think about this character Kanan, I can picture Dee not telling him he's in trouble, but Kanan, you are trouble. In other words, that Kanan has this running thread throughout all of the seasons of being trouble in Ghost life. Being trouble in his situation, being trouble in his circumstances, whatever area that you find Kanan, Kanan is stirring up trouble. And I don't know about you all, but we got some Kanans in our own lives. Not just people who are stirring up trouble, but is there anybody here who you often find trouble popping up in interesting areas of your life? That while you're not doing anything, shaping anything, that trouble comes up, whether it's on your job or whether it's in your finances or whether it's in your family or whether it's in relationship, that you find trouble popping up. I am looking at Kanan not just as the individual, but I am looking at him for what he represents in Ghost life, and that is what? Trouble. It's an interesting thing, because as I look at our scripture, that lands us right here in John, the 16th chapter, the 33rd verse. And John, the 16th chapter, the 33rd verse is the last verse in what is called Jesus' farewell discourse. Let me help you a little bit. Chapters 13 through 16 are what we are calling, or what scripture writers or scholars call, Jesus' farewell discourse. It is a period in which Jesus is sitting with his disciples, and it's the last words, the last set of teachings he will ever give them. It is on the night that he is about to be betrayed. It's on the night in which he does the Last Supper. And you know that if you've been with folks, he's been with the disciples for 3 years. He's been teaching them and giving them all kinds of lessons. But this is his last conversation with them. And in the last conversation, you know, you're going to tell them the best thing you got for them to have. And what's funny for me, what's interesting to me, is that after he teaches them all of these different things, shares all these different things with them, the very last sentence he would say is that, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. because in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It's interesting to me because many of us would think the way that people teach us about Christianity these days, that Jesus would have said that I'm in me, that you can have this prayer cloth for $19.99. That you would think that they would say that in me that you can have everything you want, that if you just jump up and down enough, that God's going to give you whatever you need. That you would think that Jesus would have said that in me you can get the big body bends. But Jesus told them that in this world you're going to have what? Trouble, Lord have mercy. But he told them, but don't you worry about it, because I have overcome the world. And my brothers and my sisters, I've come by to talk to you a little bit about how to deal with the Canaan or the trouble in your life. One of the first things you've got to understand if you're going to deal with the Canaan in your life, the trouble in your life, is you've got to understand that Canaan isn't always wrong. Turn to your neighbor and say, Canaan ain't wrong today. Canaan ain't wrong. When I look at the show, that people will look at Canaan like he's a bad guy. People will look at Canaan like he's a rough guy. Canaan is doing all this stuff. I'm talking about the first time you meet him. He's in jail, and he's got a pink shoes. Amen, somebody. He's like that by the name of pink shoes, trying to kill ghosts. Amen, somebody. He's sent out a hit on ghosts. He's always attempting to do something against ghosts. And so you would think that Canaan is just a hater. You would think that Canaan is just jealous. You would think that Canaan just wants what Ghost has. But if you get deeper into the story, you will realize that Canaan is in jail because Ghost and Tommy set him up. The fact that Canaan is in the situation he's in is because Ghost and them did him wrong. That Canaan was Ghost and Tommy's mentor. Canaan was the one who brought Ghost and Tommy into the game. Canaan was the one who caught Ghost and Tommy about the streets. Canaan was the one who showed them how to do what they did. And yet, and still, they are the ones that set him up, got him locked up, and he is in jail at the moment, and they are reaping the benefits of his incarceration because of the fact that they wanted what he had. And so you've got to realize that if anybody wanted to hurt Ghost, Canaan had a reason to hurt Ghost. Ghost and them think that Canaan doesn't realize that he's the one they're the ones that set him up, but he understood that they were the reasons he was where he was, and so therefore, Canaan had a right to have beef. If I got a witness in the house today, somebody in the house today, the trouble that's in your life, some of it, it has a right to be in your life. Lord, have mercy. I know I wasn't going to get no shot, but let me come back for you. You see, too many of us blame God for the trouble in our life. Too many of us blame the devil for the trouble in our life. But have I got anybody honest enough to admit that some of the trouble in your life, you invited into your life. Some of the trouble in your life, you brought around your life. Some of the trouble in your life is in your life as a consequence of the way you lived your life. Have I got at least one person in the house enough that's honest enough to admit that sometimes trouble can come up in your situation, and it's not because trouble just comes up, but it's because you gave trouble your number. But I've come by to let you know that whether you gave trouble your number or not, that Jesus did not say that the trouble that's in your life, only the trouble that didn't come your way because of you, you could have peace about. But Jesus said, have peace because I have what? Overcome the world. I'm talking about the world in which you brought the trouble or you didn't bring it. Or the world in which you mess it up or you didn't mess it up. I want you to think about this. Jesus was talking to his disciples, talking to the ones who were about to run off on him, talking to the ones that were about to betray him, talking to the ones that was about to snitch on him. But yet in the midst of it all, he told them, I know that trouble is in the world, but you can have some peace because I have overcome the world. That I know some of y'all are not going to be worthy of what I'm about to do for you, but I'm going to do it anyway. Is there anybody in the house today that's glad that we serve a God that decided to do it anyway? That even when trouble deserved to be in your life, that Jesus said you can have peace. Lord have mercy. In the midst of it all, one of the first things you've got to understand is Canaan isn't always wrong. The second thing you've got to understand is when trouble can't get in the door, it will look for a window. When trouble can't get in the door, it will look for a window. Jesus is interesting, says, look, I've told you all this stuff so that you can have peace, but in this world you will have what? Trouble. It's an interesting thing that when you look at the show, when you look at the show, what you will find is that in the first couple of seasons, what you will find is that Kanan tried to face Ghost head on. Kanan tried to face Ghost head on, tried to face him head on, would send would just work his magic to try to be able to tear his stuff down, and at one point was able to try to kill him himself. They had this huge knockdown, drag out fight, and Ghost won the fight and set the place on fire, and left Kanan there thinking that he was going to be burned up and thought that he was going to be dead. And for all that Ghost knows, Kanan is dead. But what we know is Kanan is yet alive. Lord, have mercy. Kanan is yet alive. What is interesting to me, though, is that Kanan is yet alive, but now he is not necessarily going directly at Ghost. He did not just walk up on Ghost to shoot Ghost. Now, he did not just try to do it directly at Ghost, but now Kanan is going at Ghost's son. And at first he was going to try to kill Ghost's son until he realized that Ghost's son was disillusioned with his daddy. And so now Kanan has made Ghost's son his friend, Lord have mercy, and is trying to turn Ghost's son against Ghost because he couldn't get in through the front door. Now Kanan is finding a window, Lord have mercy, to bring trouble. Isn't it interesting that sometimes the enemy will try to come through the front door, but when you are able to block the front door, the challenge with too many of us, as we've gotten windows open, the enemy will try to come around into the window. What do you mean a window, Reverend? Well, the enemy will come through your family. The enemy will come through your finances. The enemy will come on your job. If the enemy can't come at you directly, sometimes the enemy will use other ways to bring trouble into your life. And what interests me about how it happens in power is that when you look at Kanan, when Kanan is with Ghost's son, Kanan now has Ghost's son drinking lean, and lean is a drug. And so what it is a concoction that will be able to get him intoxicated and inebriated. Isn't it interesting that Ghost is a drug dealer? You never see Ghost doing drugs. But when the enemy is trying to come for Ghost's family, Ghost has his family doing drugs and his son drinking drugs. And because his son understands what his daddy does, Lord have mercy. And you see, you cannot just live your life in such a way that you believe that you can do as I say and not as I do. But you've got to live your life in a way that you understand that whatever you do, it's either opening up a window or closing a window for the devil to get up in your life. And you may think that you're getting away with it on one hand, but it's opening up a window on the other. Can I tell somebody in the house today that I don't care how you live, that you always open up one or another kind of a window. That when you live in disobedience, you're opening up a window that trouble can get in. But when you're living in obedience, you're letting God open up a window so that God can pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it. And I don't know about you, but I like God's window more than my window. I need my window to be shut and God's window to be open. Have I got somebody in the house today that says, God, open up a window and I'm going to do right by you. God, open up a window and I'm going to serve you. God, open up your window and I'll give you everything I've got. You've got to understand it. When trouble can't get in the door, it'll look for a window. But the third thing you've got to understand, and we're about to be up out of here. The third thing you've got to understand is that trouble don't last always. Ah, Lord, have mercy. Turn to your neighbor and say, trouble don't last always. Right. Jesus says, I've told you these things so that you may, in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And it's interesting, my brothers and my sisters, because when I look at Canaan on the TV show Power, I'm often trying to figure out how this thing is going to play out. I often try to ask myself how this thing is going to play out. I often wish that I could be in a conversation with Canaan to see how this thing is going to play out. But I realized, Minister Felicia, that even if I was in a conversation with Canaan, I would not be able to understand how it was going to play out, because Canaan is just a figure in the show, and Canaan won't know how it plays out until it plays out. And so I realized I don't need to talk to Canaan. I need to talk to 50, because you see, Canaan is the actor. Canaan is the character, but 50 is the executive producer. And so while Canaan may not understand what's going to happen for him, because 50 Cent is the executive producer, he'll understand the story arc and how things are going to play out. And the challenge for too many of us is that we are dealing with trouble, trying to figure out how it's going to play out. But when we're dealing with trouble, we're asking trouble, Lord have mercy, how it's going to go. We're asking our situation about how things are going to go. And we're looking at our situation, and we are trying to extrapolate from our situation how things are going to go. But I've come by to tell somebody, you don't need to ask Canaan about how it's going to play out. You need to ask 50. You need to ask the executive producer. That's why Jesus said, look, you're going to have trouble, because in this life you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In other words, Jesus said that I know how this thing plays out, that I know how this thing moves forward, that I know how this thing comes to end. In other words, I'm the author and the finisher, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, oh God have mercy, and the Word became flesh. If I got anybody in here that knows that Jesus has already worked it out for you, the psalmist would say, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies. The psalmist would say, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. The psalmist would say that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. But if you don't like the psalmist, let me take you to Jesus. I told you in his farewell discourse, Jesus had a conversation with the disciples, and Jesus told them, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Somebody in the house today, I come by to let you know that I know D said you in trouble. D, I may be in trouble, but trouble ain't in me. D, I may be in trouble, but I'm not troubled, because the Lord will make a way. Oh yes, he will. I hear the songwriter say, when peace like a river attended my way, and sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou has taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. I hear the other songwriter say, be not dismayed, whatever be tied, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Don't you get shook by a little bit of trouble, because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Come on, won't you stand all over the church, all that are able.